Hey, yo, bad news. Fuck going on?
Go ahead, big boys.
Big boy headphones.
Oh, work. Unless you want little boys.
No, no, I don't like little boys. I like big boys.
Big dudes. You look like you guys are about to get a mad game of Fortnite in.
Damn, it
works. Well, crush some news.
Crush it.
I love it.
Wow. Man. Steel Lafferty.
Hold on. Let me put my headphones on real quick.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of business we're in.
We should all have headphones on.
I love it. You're like, no. You're like, I need to look good.
Fucking cool for headphones.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but now my headphones off.
Oh, cool. Okay. I was like, dude, what time is it? Like 10?
It's 9 p.m., dog. It's about an hour past my bedtime.
Damn, kept him up late. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, my God.
Late for us.
Steel. Matt.
Yeah, we met at the Palms opening. I think, okay. Yeah, we hung out.
Dude, yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
That was right before our power trip.
Yeah. Yeah, the original one.
Yeah, right.
Well,
we're back.
New episode of Bad News, where we don't give anybody any bad news ever.
It's kind of the craziest concept.
Yes. I just like the name. And then, you know, it's crazy. We were sitting at Steele's house last week, actually, while I went to Florida, and we had a crazy weekend. The craziest part, Steele, I don't know if you knew, but like when we watched that Mike Vick documentary, your kitchen, where there's a barbecue in the kitchen with one window, which is the craziest thing ever. That just turns into like a complete smoke. Everything's just smoke. Like, and he's like, this came with the house. I was just like, bro, this would never fly anywhere.
Only in Florida.
Yeah. But I was like, Mike Vick's whole crew, they used to be called Bad News.
Yeah.
Of course, Matt knows that because he's a football freak.
But they spelled it different.
Yes.
It just slightly.
Yeah, we've encountered that problem a few times.
So we have a very special guest.
Huge guest today.
Always very special guest. But he is very special in my little heart. Steel Lafferty. Steel is a professional model and a professional wakeboarder. And he is one of the most insane extreme sports athletes I've ever seen in my entire life. He's fucking insane. He actually, my favorite thing to do when I go wakeboarding is literally go out for 2 seconds, have Steel jump in the water with me, and then have Steel jump over me. And then he could jump probably over 2 more of me on top of me, which is really cool. And people always say, man, is that real? Or is that one of your VFX videos? I'm like, nope, that is real. He's just a super athlete.
Guy flies.
Yeah. So Steel, thanks for joining us.
Dude, of course. I've been waiting for that email or that text from Tall saying, hey, can you be on Bad News? And I obviously didn't want to be the guy texting you saying, yo, get so I appreciated it that it was coming from you first.
Oh, my God, nice. Man, please. There's some friends that I have that I'm like, I don't know if they'd want to be on it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll send an email and they're like, yeah. And then nothing happens. You know,
I got to keep reminding him. Like, hey, let's do this guy. This one's a good one.
Actually, Matt was like, yo, we should fucking get Steel. I was like, yeah, we should. And then.
Tight. And then what? Within a day.
A day. Here. Literally.
Boom, here we are. That's how the internet works nowadays.
So Steel, man, let's start of like young age Steel. Like, where are you from?
Yeah. Give us a little background
on some little history before we get into what you do for a living.
Background. Born 1992. May 27th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Grew up there my whole life until I was graduated high school, then moved out to Orlando for the whole wakeboarding scene. Before wakeboarding, I did everything. Soccer, baseball, football, everything, you name it. I wasn't really an action sports kid. I was a traditional sports kid. And then my parents had a lake house, or we just rented a house every summer for like 2 weeks on the lake. And my dad brought a wakeboard one time and was like, yo, this is the cool thing to do. And I was like, all right. And my mom got up first and rode the board sideways the whole time, just like butter slid the whole time. And they were like, this thing's terrible.
Yeah, what is this thing?
And so we put in the DVD that came with the board. And I'm pretty sure Parks Bonifay, Sean Murray, a few of the legends were on it, and we saw him do a bunch of tricks. And we're like, oh, this thing's dope. And then I just kind of got hooked then.
Man. Yeah, hey, I read a story that you actually were out with your brother, and you like hurt your ear, and then your brother had like an advantage and he got a little better than you. And then that like, that just totally changed it for you.
That's exactly how it works. So like, I'm like really, really competitive. Ask any of my friends. Like I'm like almost like, it's like almost an issue how competitive. And yeah, I don't like to lose or be bad at anything. So I blew out my eardrum, which is still currently blown out, which is another story. And I had to get surgery on it because it didn't heal because I blew it out so bad. Got surgery on it, but I had to be out of the water for like 3 months.
Wow.
And within the 3 months or whatever, not being able to ride, my older brother got better at wakeboarding than me. And I did not like that at all. And he's not super competitive, but I just didn't want him to be better than me. So I wouldn't ride with my brother and my friends until I knew that I was as good, if not better than them. And so I would just wake my dad up early in the morning when we were on the vacation at the lake house and say, yo, we got to go ride. I don't want to ride with anybody until then. And then one day I was just like, all right, I'll ride with them. I'm going to see where I'm at. Like, let's test it. And I was like leaps and bounds better than all of them because they weren't riding. They didn't care if I was better.
They weren't training.
Yeah. They weren't
training. Rocky Balboa. Like,
yeah, just punching the meat and shit.
Totally. And, but then after that moment of like, I think it was both of like, okay, accomplishing something, but also being able to just feel the love for the sport rather than the competition hit me all at once. Even when I was a kid and I would just like knew like at the age of like a young age, I was like, all right, this is what I'm doing.
Wow. That's crazy.
I mean, there's so many ways to like start, right? Like telling somebody you're a pro wakeboarder. How did you going from that? Like at what point, at what age are you like, I'm going to take this sport serious?
13. Young. Wow. Wow. Which is weird because I was doing every other thing coming up to it. And out of nowhere, I just told my parents, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And they're like, okay. And then my parents are the most supportive people in the world. I got the best family you could ever ask for growing up. So I got super lucky. And they were like, all right, we support you 100% what you want to do. And you know what's funny about this is I've talked to a few other professional athletes and even musicians and stuff in it. When I talk to them and I get the same feeling that I had when I was a kid, when it wasn't like I was 13, I wasn't like, I want to be a professional wakeboarder. It was just, I'm going to be a professional wakeboarder. Like it was ignorance, like almost like to the point of like, there is no other path for me at all. Like I'm going to be a professional wakeboarder, period. And I'll see you at the top. Like that's it.
Yeah. But at 13, was there a lot of other professional wakeboarders that you like knew about besides like Parks and the legends?
No, not at all. Like it was 12 when someone told me, hey, you should go compete. Mm. In this, and we're like, you can compete in this. Like
at this point though, like 12 years old, it's a dying sport, correct?
12 years old, it's
booming,
pumping.
Yeah, okay
things are pumping. Like early on, wakeboarding is pumping, and then it took a dip, you know, 2008, yeah. 2009, it just when everything kind of took a dip.
Yeah, of course.
And then it soared right back. And I kind of caught that tail coming straight up. Luckily, I mean, you can't plan those things, but I caught that tail end of it going up, which was epic. But yeah, 12 years old, someone goes, you should compete in it. And we're like, you can compete in this. This is like, we thought it was just for fun.
Right.
Competition, compete in the boys division, won that. And then I was like, this is fun. Met a bunch of cool people and then realized there's like a pro circuit and people are making really good money and having fun. Like I didn't care about the money or yeah, whatever, but I just wanted like the lifestyle of it, like see all the people riding every day.
Right.
And just like do that. Like, that's what I wanted to do.
Matt and I, the one thing I do like about our thing, we don't follow like a list of like, you know, beginning to end. Like, so bear with us being all over the place.
No, that's how my brain works too. It's like, right. Boom, boom, like ping pong.
So like being a wakeboarder is an expensive sport, you know, like you need a fucking boat. It's like, and not only do you need a boat that has a wake the size of your entire body. So you could get 40 feet above your fucking boat. It's like, how does a Joe Schmo steal it? How are they even able to? And I know there's ways now. There's, you know, like the, what you're about to say, but like, what does a kid have to do if he doesn't live in Florida?
Yeah, no, it's tough. Wakeboarding is definitely a hard sport to get into. Cause you do need a boat. You need, or you need a friend with a boat, and then you got to bring that boat. But you know, I know plenty of people that from middle America that, you know, had no, boat attachment at all. Didn't know anyone with a boat and just like, you know, saw a video, loved it. And then was like, figured out a way to get on someone's boat and pushed hard, bought gas and made sure they made it happen. And, you know, that's like something that I never had to deal with, which is, you know, super lucky for me, but I respect the people that made that happen because that it is tough to do that. To get into the sport when it's not easy is definitely, it's crazy. But right now what they've got going, with cable parks and 2.0 systems where you can go and buy a day pass for $20 and ride around on the cable park with rails and kickers and have fun like that. And then you meet a community of people, and you know, some of them have boats and you can go ride behind the boat and get that vibe too. Like the sport's growing. And it's crazy to say that COVID, is spiking the sport, which is a lot of outdoor activities per se. You know, it's like, hey, we've been stuck inside for so long, or, you know, we can't hang out with our friends at a bar. Like we got to figure something else out. So, you know, one of the friends or a bunch of the friends are going in on a boat so they can go outside and be doing something. So the sport's growing really fast right now. And it's really cool to see.
Wow. That's dope. I mean, I love wakeboarding I don't even like, I could just go just to watch someone like Steele or, you know, some of our other friends. Cause it's just so fucking dope to just see what you could do over a wake. You know, man. The other day I was like, what's your favorite side to ride on, Steele? He's like, both of them. Ooh, you know, some people that aren't pros can only like jump over one wake and then like cross over.
Yeah, come back over and do the whole thing again.
Yeah. Cause it's like, you're literally riding backwards the second time. So it's just
and I love that you said that because it's like one of those things where it's, I know that like video is cool, but seeing it in person is a whole different thing. And whenever I can get my friends or like, you know, people that I respect out on the boat to see exactly what we do in person, and it's such a big difference. I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Before we get into weight to wake or any of that stuff, do you ever do gymnastics as a kid? Did you ever have like a gymnast background or anything?
Totally. From 0 to 12, like
boom.
My mom brought me to, like the kids gymnastics where they like roll you in like a, and I did that
pit and shit.
Yeah. Everything like every little movement. My mom was a baller. Still. Man,
that explains so much. Cause I was like Googling a lot of the tricks before we jumped on the call. And I was just like blown away. And I was like, you know, this is not something you like could just be like naturally gifted with, I guess. But then like reading some of the stuff, like you also have to know so much about physics to be able to like go against, you know, the momentum and against gravity to do some of these tricks, you know, and then to watch you jump so high too, you have a vertical. That's insane.
Yeah. I appreciate that. So I got lucky, you know, my parents put me into sports when I was super young. And, you know, my family was just a sports family. They loved it. So my mom just like raised me through it, got me doing somersaults. And then it was a really relaxed, like gymnastics scene. Like it was kind of just like a open gym.
Yeah. It wasn't forced. Yeah,
like a daycare kind of thing.
Right. Totally. But it was just like, hey, like do what you want. And I grew up in a neighborhood in a time where it was, you go outside, like
here,
like we had a neighborhood filled with 30, 40 kids. And I grew up in this awesome neighborhood where it's like, there's just kids all my age, a little older, a little younger, but we'd all meet outside play pickup basketball. And I that's where I got super competitive, is like pickup basketball, flag football in the park. We do this like crazy manhunt at night. All 30 kids, like the whole block, you're not worried about anything back then. You just like, everyone's just like tackling each other on the street, bringing them to their jail, which is behind our house or a neighbor's house.
You're on time. You're on time.
But like that's what we grew up in. So it's just like the competitiveness, the athleticism, like that is where, you know, I think I got my athleticism. Wow, that's a hard word. Athleticism from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Let's talk boats real quick, Steele, because like, just so people understand, like the difference between like, and I'm just but like the difference between like a Sea Ray and like a Mastercraft, let's call it, and the evolution of even a Mastercraft from when you were 12 years old to today, because I know there's a difference, because back in the day, riders would even put like cement blocks in their boats so it would sink for a bigger wake. And now you press a button depending on how big you want your wake.
Yeah, it's crazy. The technology and the engineering that has gone into these boats nowadays is so wild. Going into my backyard, lowering my boat into the water, and then hitting fill, I'm 5 minutes away from having the best wake in the world to wakeboard behind, without having to do any other manual work with like putting, you know, bags in the boat or cement or whatever it is. So yeah, it's absolutely wild where these boats have gone to. Mastercraft is doing an unbelievable job of innovating and creating the best waves and wakes in the industry. And I've been with them for close to 15 years now. So it's just been so cool to see where we started from, which I thought was the best of the best, could never get better, to where we are now. It's fun. The journey's wild. I mean, I used to ride behind a ski boat with a pylon in it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, before towers and all that stuff.
Right. And get people, as many, the bigger people, the better, into the boat to weigh it down. Right. To do something. To now it's like, I just have Paris, my girlfriend, drive me maybe 100 pounds.
Yeah, maybe. That's with clothes.
Doesn't matter, because I can just, it's the boat.
Steele, what's the difference between like propellers? Like, explain that to people, like about boats.
The prop and how the prop.
Yeah.
Like, you get really tech with boats, but you know, the prop that you want for a wakeboarding boat versus like a speed boat, like the prop I have on the boat is mainly for torque. So it gets out of the hole, because it's, you know, when you fill up the ballast, I think in an XR you get 4,200 pounds of ballast in like 3 minutes, which is crazy. So you have 4,200 pounds of ballast weighing you down. You need a prop that can push a ton of water and get you out of that hole, rather than something that can spin really fast and get you going, you know, 56 miles per hour.
And the prop, like your prop, is like in the middle of the boat almost, correct? It's not like, and it's also not as dangerous as like a regular like speed boat.
Right. It's the Miami Dolphins draft is going on.
Oh, so yeah, right.
And Tennessee Titans. I got all my boys going right now. But the inboard prop versus an outboard prop. So the inboard prop is, you know, a few feet inside the boat, like underneath it. The outboard is right there. You can see the prop in the back. You fall on an outboard, like out the back, you're in danger. If you fall out the back of an inboard, you're totally fine. Like, I mean, you got to be careful, obviously.
Always, yeah.
But the inboard is like probably 4 or 5 feet away from the back of the boat, towards the middle of the boat underneath. And that's how all the wakeboards are.
And I just want people to know, but like, wakeboarding boats are fucking expensive. You can buy a house with this type of boat. Like, what's the most expensive Mastercraft? And I say, I'm only saying this boat name because Steele is the face of this boat company. And they're like one of the most beautiful boats. They literally have everything you can imagine.
Shout out Mastercraft. But you can go from, you know, a more entry level boat where you know, you can price it out and get a way better boat for the price, which is, you know, anywhere from like 80 grand and up. And then, you know, the top boats, like the X-Stars, the X-26, X-24s, I mean, you can go, you know, upwards of 200 if you option it out crazy. So there's a, you know, there's a big range of what you can get, all quality, all create, you know, an incredible wake or wave, but you know, at the end of the day, it's what fits you or your family better.
So yeah, be able to jump though, man.
Yeah. Yes.
Lucky enough where Mastercraft gives me my boat every year, and I can ride behind the best at all times. I'm blessed.
How did that relationship start, Steele? Like, how does a Mastercraft approach you? Like, were you in like a competition? Did someone call your parents? You know, how did it start?
Yeah. So I was pretty young, 14, 15. And, I just had like a bright future in the sport and was getting some recognition. And I had a few other boat companies hit me up, but I knew I wanted to be with Mastercraft. So it's just being with Mastercraft and wakeboarding is just like one of those things. Right. It's like, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like being with the Yankees. It's like, that's the team you want to be with. That's that, you know? So I waited for them. I had other offers and I was just like, man, I gotta wait for Mastercraft. Cause I knew I just wanted to be with that company.
Right.
And we worked together on a few things. They helped my dad out with like a boat instead of, you know, doing a deal with me cause I was young. And then, I think I was like 16 years old and we signed a deal. And I had three or four other boat deals within those 2 years between 14 and 16, you know, wanting to sign me and give me a boat. And it's crazy to turn down offers.
Right.
Wait, a company that you don't know if they're going to do it, but it's another one of those things where it's just like, I know I'm going to be a Mastercraft athlete. I'm going to do it. Like, let's make it happen.
Man, the determination is where it's at though. You can just tell like the story, like super determined, knew what he's going to do before. He's like, I'm just going to stick with it. Like so many people would be like, the first boat company, I'll take it. You know?
Right. And I was just lucky to almost just be like, I didn't even think twice about it. Like it's almost dumb. Like looking back, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, why? Like, but I'm like, at the same time, got so lucky that it, you know, it all worked out and I put the work in to make it happen. But yeah, it's crazy.
Do you have that same feeling when you're like coming up with tricks, like that you just know that it can be done and you just keep trying and trying and trying until you get it? Cause you just feel that you can do it before you've done it.
Visualization thing. Like I can visualize it. If I visualize it so many times in my head, I can make myself think that I've already done the trick. Mm. So then once I've landed a trick before, it's like, I know I can land it again and again and again because it's been done. Your mind is such a powerful thing. It's so crazy. Like I've done tricks where I've been like, I don't think I can do this trick. And then like, you know, you hit the wake the right way and it happens. And then once I landed on my board and rode away from it, I was able to do that trick. You know, I'll get it consistent. But it took that one time of like my mind feeling my body doing it and knowing that I could do it to make it happen again. Mm. It's so weird how the mind works. And I've worked with some coaches and mental coaches on this. And like, they like tell you, like, if you can visualize something and you do it so many times to get your mind to believe that you have done it, you can do it.
Mm. Super powerful.
I could apply that to anything in life, really. Right. Like visualize where you want to be in life. Visualize what you have going on, visualize your health, you know, visualize everything. Cause your mind is way more powerful than I know, you know, like that's the one thing we still haven't even learned everything about yet. Like, and it's right here.
Yeah. We only use like 3 or 8% of our brain or something like that. Yeah. Some small amount,
not the limitless,
some crazy.
Yeah.
When you're doing this, so our listeners at home, I just wanted to tell them like, you've actually like invented three tricks, would you say, or how did they phrase it in the sport? Like
I invented, landed first.
Yeah, the first guy to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's a few more than three, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Right.
So is it three? Then it's like three Trick of the Year awards, I think is what it is then.
I got two Trick of the Year awards.
Two Trick of the Year awards. Yeah.
Yeah, I got two Trick of the Year awards. That's
what,
cool.
What are those?
Yeah, can you tell us the names?
The two Trick of the Year, the first one's a really cool story. I was young. I was like my rookie year. And I want to get Trick of the Year. I'm always fascinated by what is the coolest, hardest trick that could ever be done on a wakeboard. And I always wanted that award because I always looked at that as the pinnacle because you're the one pushing the sport to the next level. And, you know, people vote on it. So it's not like, hey, this is the hardest trick. Even if it looks bad, you're going to win. It's not like that. Like it has to still look good, you know, push the sport in the right direction. So I always thought this was the coolest award. So I went for it when I was in my rookie year. And I did this like backside 1080 off the double up. And I totally thought I was going to win it. I was like, I'm going to win. And then one of my competitors, Harley, who's a good friend of mine, I don't know if he heard I did it or something, but he did it like the next day, like where I competed. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, I'm not going to win like this. And this is a big, big award. So then I went out the next day and I was like, I think I can do this other trick that I know will beat that trick, which is a toe side backside 900. So you come in toe side to the wake, which is like your toes are pointing towards the wake. And when you hit that wake, it wants you to open up because it pulls your body this towards the boat, but you have to fight it and go the other way. Mm. So you go toe side backside and then you spin a 900 degrees. So 2.5 rotations. And somehow I pulled it off, landed it like a day before the submissions were due, and then submitted it and won that in, it was like 2011. So I won Rookie of the Year that year and I won Trick of the Year that year, which was epic. And then fast forward 6 years, was it 2017 or 2018? I had this like little stint where I didn't want to do double flips. I went through this like little like thing where I was just like, I don't want to do them. I was like, I don't know. I got hurt, broke my back when I was 15 type of thing. I was like, man, I had to overcome it. And I was like, at this point in my career, I was like, all right, I either push myself or I bow out type of thing. So I was just like, all right, we're going all in. So I went all in, learned double flips, made sure that I was like the king of double flips. And then we released a new boat with Mastercraft 2017 that I helped create, which is super cool that Mastercraft got their athletes involved and was like, yo, the athletes know what's up. Help us create the best boat. So that's what we did. And then I was like, we were pushing that launch. And I said, and I was like, man, how cool would it be if I landed a trick that has never been done before behind this boat for the launch. So we went out and we filmed in North Carolina. And I landed this double indie tension of blind that was, you know, has never been done before, and stuck it while filming and was like stoked on that. And then I've had another trick that I was like, I think I can do it. It was a double mute mode, which is like another trick that's never been done. And I made sure that we had it before the release of the boat, and got that one done, you know, a month later. And that's the trick that I won Trick of the Year with. And I think it's 2017.
Yeah. You guys at home have to just stop right now and Google them because it's Google craziness. It's like spinning like a top. Yeah. Hit pause, double come back.
Blind and double mute mode.
That's gnarly.
Steele, you've done a very good job marketing yourself, because I feel like you, in all honesty, and you've kind of like outgrown your sport in the most positive way. Like to me, your name is much bigger than wakeboarding. You know, I think a couple things. A lot of people out there, I don't think, understand wakeboarding and the kind of like athlete it takes to be like what it is you and Mossy and Parks and all of our friends do. Let's talk about like falls and like breaks real quick before I get into like how you outgrew kind of a lot of people in this sport. Have you, you just said you broke your back. What are like very serious injuries that you've had, and you have friends that have had surgeries from like hitting the water, you know, getting stuck in the boots and not being able to get out and your legs break? Like what?
Yeah.
Board snaps in half, hits you in the face.
You know, it comes with serious consequences, you know, just like a lot of other action sports. And people always say it's water.
It's just water. Someone said that to us at your house the other day. They're like, it's just water. I'm like, it's cement.
Yeah,
like you're going so fast.
Yeah. When you're going 23 miles per hour and you catch an edge and it doubles your speed and you just hit the water, which is a flat surface at that time, you got to break that surface because it's flat and it feels like concrete and it knocks you out so easily. I've hurt myself a lot. When I was 14, I was filming a little TV show for Fuel TV. Remember Fuel TV?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Fuel TV.
I want to bring back a network that just does action sports and cool stuff. But anyways, Fuel TV, and I did this Whirly Five, landed the trick, and then was trying to look cool for the camera and kept the handle behind my back because that's how you ride away. And the boat had to turn because it was out on this bank and it locked me into this cut a little bit. And then it just like slung me open. And then just that like quick boom to my back broke my L5 vertebrae. Completely like knocked me out. Like when something like that happens to you so quick and such like a whiplash effect and like hitting the water so hard, which I never knew, but your body like paralyzes itself for a little bit because it like all the muscles kind of just contract and protect and you can't move. Like you can kind of feel and like you're trying to move, but you really can't. And so I kind of woke up underwater, my life jacket ripped off me. I was out of my board and I like couldn't move. And all I remember is like the filmer, Mark Shonka, coming into the water and grabbing me and like it blacked out again, woke up on the dock type of thing. And like, couldn't like feel myself. And I was supposed to go ride with Rusty Malinowski, who was like one of my idols back then when I was a kid. And I was like, and now he's one of my best friends, which is super cool. But, I was like, I can't miss that opportunity. So I just went to a local doctor there and he was like, you're fine. You're 14. You didn't break anything. You just had a hard fall. It's water. That's what he told us. And we went on and I felt like someone was just stabbing me in my lower back, but I was like trying to push through. Cause I wanted, this was such a cool opportunity to be on Fuel TV. And anyways, it just hurt. And then like, I could barely ride. I could barely stand up. I couldn't bend over and grab anything. I'm a kid. So I'm just trying to fight through it. I don't want to tell anybody anything's wrong. And then at one point I'm in the middle of class and I just sneeze and I just start crying.
Oh
like
my God.
So much pain. It just feels like someone for this is like 3-4 months into it. It just feels like someone's stabbing me in my back, bro. Like it was so painful. Like I still remember it so gnarly. And so I went to my doctor in Fort Lauderdale that, you know, my family's friends with, they took an MRI and your vertebrae is shaped like a wing nut. And one of the wings was like almost fully cracked off. And the doctor's like, I give you 2 weeks. If you bump that too hard, it will paralyze you from the waist down.
Holy shit.
So they put me in a back brace for like 6 months and then 6 to 9 months. And then physical therapy for a year after that to get back into wakeboarding. Which was crazy. So that took a lot.
Man, I read you spray painted the back brace and then stained your mom's couch.
Terrible. Yeah, terrible. The child. I just wanted to look cool. I mean, it's this white gum looking back brace that wasn't cool. Right. It's just like, and I was just like, man, I want to make this look cool. Like I got to go to school still. Like people at school are going to look at me weird. You know, it's like, I don't know. So I just like found spray paint in the garage and spray painted it. And, you know, I think I stenciled some of my sponsors onto it. Red and black everywhere, like, you know, and then just immediately put it on and went and sat on the couch and stained my mom's couch.
That was nice. That's
amazing. All right, now let's talk about how you kind of have outgrown the sport. But the sport is still amazing. I mean, the sport, wakeboarding is bigger than it's ever been. I mean, Steele and I just had this conversation last weekend. It is like bigger than ever. And I feel like it's because of people like you, Steele. Steele has managed to me, and the last time to me, wakeboarding was cool. For me, it's always been cool. But like for the masses to like all of a sudden talk about it, because again, it's a very expensive sport. It's hard to like follow it because it's like, yo, man, like get a boat. What? It's 200 grand. You're crazy. I can't get a boat that has a wake. I can't jump over the wake. I can't get good. But you and like parks, I mean, let's talk about you. You have made it where it's like SportsCenter, ESPN, Complex, all these people are posting you. They don't post fucking play wakeboarding. You know what I mean? Like they want to post fucking Sean White and, you know, McMorris snowboarding. They don't post wakeboarding to that. Like, but you've made it where you're like, all right, you're not going to post me wakeboarding. Guess what? I could also do fucking flips on my grass and touch water with two of my feet and create all these like viral moments where it's like people are going to follow these trends because I fucking created them. And if I didn't create them, like Steele said, he's a very competitive person. He'll do it better than the guy that started that trend.
Man, he can shoot from pretty deep too. Don't try to go shoot basketball.
Yeah.
That's funny. I appreciate that. That means a lot. But yeah, I mean, that's the whole goal. You know, since I started seeing social media and the power of it was to grow myself and the sport at the same time. It's, you know,
but what made you do that? Like what made you like reach out to SportsCenter, or did SportsCenter reach out to you guys? World star, like, and I'm saying it like, it's not one time. These guys wait for Steele to post something out of control for them to post again.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it still takes some work. You know, I'll do something crazy and I'm like, yo, hopefully these guys pick it up. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You know, the internet's a crazy space, but
fickle world.
It's crazy.
I just continue to try to outdo myself, which is a very tiring, but also very rewarding. And it's fun, but you know, I was lucky to have some really good sponsors back in the day that kind of helped guide me and say, hey, this is kind of what's happening. This is what's cool. Like social media is popping off. Maybe you should try to, you know, grow your Twitter. Cause back then it was Twitter and Facebook. That was all it was. Like,
hey, was. Yeah.
Like, okay. So I just tweeted what I was doing that day. Like, I didn't know. I started out being absolutely terrible. That's so funny. Cause I'm coming to some realizations here, but I was a terrible social media person. I just tweeted. I woke up at 8 a.m., went to the gym, ate chicken, went back to the gym, rode, went to sleep. That was my Twitter account. Like, it was terrible. And like, you know, some people would be like, yo, you have the worst Twitter. And I was like, oh, geez. So then I got competitive on that. And like, I have to be the best at social media. Like, I can't be known as being bad at this. So then I just started to go ham and learn how I could propel myself on social media and just do cool things. Like, it wasn't even about growing my account. It was just about
being seen.
Yeah. Being seen, getting other people posted. I didn't care if they tagged me or whatever it was. I just wanted my videos and what I created to be shown, because it was more about growing what I was doing rather than growing me at the time. And you know, as a business person, you look back and you're like, if I grow whatever, but it's like at that point, it was really cool to see videos hit different
platforms
and have wakeboarding. And I got, you know, there's core people and core this, core that. And, you know, I grew up as like, only a wakeboard, like doing that, like at that when I was 13 and on, like, but like once you do social media and you do other things that are outside wakeboarding, you get some hate from the core people.
Of course.
But then I had to like battle through that and know like, okay, this is going to play out good for all of us in the end, because it's going to get seen by more. So more people can get into the sport, and you know, it can help everybody. So that'll do that. And then, like, you know, went through this phase where people were like, it's not cool. And then it is now the coolest.
Of course.
So, yeah, social media was, it was this crazy roller coaster ride, and that I'm still on. And I feel like we're still just climbing, waiting for the top. But
would you say, and I'm sure, would you say your biggest,
sorry, but people blow me up.
He's a busy man. He's a busy man.
Let me text up.
I love it.
So the funny story why he's sending a text. I used to work at a West Marine growing up, and the West Marine, we used to have like a small section of like wakeboarding stuff, because it was more of like a, we had one lake, but we were more of like a, you know, saltwater ocean, San Francisco kind of West Marine. So we had small section of wakeboard products. And then our books, we had a lot of wakeboard magazines, because it was me and the other guy, Jeff Wade. We kind of like, his like dad and them, we kind of stocked the shelves. So we was always like looking at all of the, like the Parks and all of the Rusties and all like the Shanes. And then like, I remember like right when I was about to leave, Steel was coming up, and someone that like, we'd put the videos on and just keep them on. And cause it was like entertaining us. We were in this boring, like, you know, boat store, and we'd watch. And I remember like, you know, you watch these guys, and I think I always credited wakeboarding with like going like the skateboarding route, like how they took like the videos and the, how they portrayed like the artwork and how everyone had their own personality. Like you could really find like a writer that felt like you could like relate to. And like surfing didn't do that. And like some of the other like action sports didn't really like hone that per se. And even if you couldn't wakeboard, I felt like you could still like relate to these guys and it still looked super cool. And you're always like, damn, that fucking board is so sick. Look at that graphic he has. Same thing with like skateboarding. And I remember like looking at Steel and I'm being like, that kid's going to be the future. Like even like when I was on my way out, I knew nothing about it, watching it going like, oh, wow.
That's awesome.
I appreciate it. That's cool. And I think to what your point was saying, like you could connect with the people. It's like, man, everybody's just a homie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In the sport is like, I almost every pro wakeboarder is a friend of mine. Like they're just cool people. Like they're hanging out with. So that's cool that it got portrayed that way.
For sure. I know everyone that's listening is going to know exactly what I'm talking about, because this is probably the most viral video Steele's had, and it just keeps coming up. It's like every few months you'll just see it. Steele just decided to golf one day, and he was golfing right next to a fucking alligator, and that
my cousin sent me this after it went viral. Like
100%. Bro, viral is like an understatement. It was everywhere. ESPN, SportsCenter, WorldStar, like Complex, like everyone posted it. It's crazy. And like it made it on TV. Fuck social media. Like it went everywhere, you know?
I got people hitting me up from different countries saying it's on their news channel.
That's crazy.
Like, I was Florida man. I was trending Florida man for a full like that. If you've never seen anyone hit a peak, that was my peak, bro.
Hell yeah.
Like I've just been on my way down since then, and I've, you know, hit some crazy things, but it's still just on the way down from that. Like Florida man trending for a month is so cool. Like I beat out a guy that ate his friend on meth or something. Oh my God.
Hell yes. We're going to Google that video as well.
That's a good one.
Oh, so wait, explain the story though. Explain how that was set up. Cause the video sets up so cool. I didn't know. I was about to like, I was kind of worried for a second.
Yeah. So just being in the water all the time and being around gators type of thing. Like I'm not always around gators, but it's just like you learn that they're very docile creatures and they're just big lizards. So they really don't want to attack you at all. Like the only time they will attack you is like May. And if you're messing with their nest, crocodiles are a different story. Crocodiles are super gnarly. They'll attack you and they suck.
Are they both in Florida or no?
The way more gators than crocs, but the crocs aren't in our lakes and stuff. Crocs are more saltwater. There's crocs in Australia and those, but alligators are super docile. And they're scared of humans and big things. So when I saw it on land, which is, you know, where I mainly am, not in water with them. I was like, okay, I'm good. Like I can get away at any time I need to, if it comes at me, like running zigzags, whatever they need to do. But I had a golf club and I was like, all right, let's do it. Like, this will make for a crazy viral moment. My ball was right there. And I was like, he's going to walk right by it. I gave my buddy my phone. I said, film this. He filmed it perfectly. You never know how any random friend is going to film something, but filmed it well. I hit the shot well. And then I posted it like that second. I was like, let's post it. Like, let's see how it does. And again, social media is so crazy. The first like 3 days, it kind of just was like 30,000 views, did its thing, faded. And then like on the fourth day, ESPN picked it up. SportsCenter picked it up. WorldStar picked it up. Complex picked it up. Every single person I could ever think of that was like, hey, if something's going viral, these people are going to post it. They posted it within like the next 2 days. And it just went. And then like every news channel posted it. Like everything.
Everyone.
Like people were blogging about it. Like it was wild. And then I was just like, man, let's just hop on the Florida. Because it was like, you know, SportsCenter posted and goes, Florida man golfs the next to Gator and then, you know, ats me or whatever. So I'm just like, yeah, let's roll with Florida man. Like, I love that. Like, repping my home, you know?
Wow.
And, and then we rolled with it and it worked out. And now I'm pretty sure they just have it on a carousel that just keeps rolling throughout the year. Like, pretty sure SportsCenter posts it twice a year.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like kind of, it's like one of those things that, I mean, it's been a few years and like it gets brought up once a year heavy again.
And then you had another big moment when that bottle cap challenge happened.
Mm. Yeah, that was crazy.
Right? I mean, that was a big one. Like that one got picked up as well.
Yeah, that one got picked up. Absolutely crazy. That one got close to 100 million views too altogether, which is wild.
Wild.
Wild. You know what's crazy is I was thinking about, I was like, man, the amount of views to followers I have is so backwards.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day because it's very hard right now to blow up on social media. Like as wow. easy as it's hard, right? I mean, it's not
to a point, but I just seen this dude. He's a golfing guy, and all he says is hit that ball sexy, nasty, and like whatever, like just it's funny stuff, but like he had like 6,000 followers 5 days ago, and within 2 days he's up at 200,000 followers, just like boom, just because some people posted. But like, you know, it's not like SportsCenter's posting all this, it's just like, you know, sometimes people just within a span of a few days gain hundreds of thousands of followers. And he's like, what? Like, all you're saying is swing nasty. Right? I'm like, come on, dog. I'm
I don't know. We might have to check that guy out. He might have some bots on his page calling that guy out.
But it is it is one of those things where it's just like, you know, you never know when it's going to happen or what's going to pop, or, you know, you can try all you want and put the effort in. And sometimes all that effort comes out to a video going nuclear and you know, gaining so much off of that. And other times it just doesn't.
It's crazy. Yeah. We were talking about it the other day. It's just like, it's like impossible, you know, like you like all like, and then like views to likes and likes to views. You're like, one day you'll get only 500 people liking your shit, but somehow it's got 25,000 views. And you're like, what just happened? Like, how is that algorithm like correct? You know, or like, and you're there, it's not buying or it's not bots. It's just like, some people just rather view and not like anything. And that's the thing. Like, that's why for a while they're like, oh, we're going to take the likes away. Yeah. I'm like, that's okay. Well, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I think Instagram is like, it's kind of losing its wave for now, but you know, Zuck is such a genius. He'll figure it out. And then TikTok, like we were talking on the boat the other day, is just TikTok is like, it's like crack, because you're like, you miss. And then you have this massive fucking hit and you're like, what the fuck just happened? Like,
right.
1.2, 1.9, 3.6 million. And you see the followers just go
skyrocket.
You know,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
And that's what I miss about Instagram. You know, now right. it's just like you post something, you're guaranteed to lose 100 to 300 followers. You're just yeah. like, what just happened? I just like gave you the best video.
It's yeah. hard to like repost other people's stuff on TikTok though, as we're like Instagram right. has made it so simple for like other people like Worldstar and whatnot to post Steel and get likes off Steel's page and get follows off Steel's Steel's right, content. And they like, all they have to do is tag them. But like on Twitter, they'd be like a redirect.
Yeah.
They actually had to go to your page and then they follow through or something, you know, then it has to be like right. that connective force back through.
That little connective tissue. Right. That, well, you know, what's crazy though, is remember like, this was even just a few years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago, if like SportsCenter posted you or WorldStar posted you, you instantly gained a minimum of 10,000 followers.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like boom. at the least, right. at the very least.
Now it's sometimes like, I mean, I had that backflip water bucket challenge that SportsCenter posted, ESPN posted, Complex posted it, Sports Illustrated posted it.
For the soccer one was massive because Europe.
433 posted yeah. They had 50 million followers, bro. Crazy people posted this.
You jumped 2,000 followers.
Gained 2,000 to 3,000 followers.
That's so fucking crazy.
Like what? Like
someone got some followers off you.
How did I not gain 100,000 followers right there? But I mean, that's greed. But at the same time, it's just like I'm pumped on how that video did. The name got out there. I'm gonna continue to do so much fun, crazy things. That's yeah. like even if it doesn't. Even I'd never reach a million, it doesn't matter. Like I'm having fun doing what I'm doing. And if I can make a living off of this, then I'm going to continue to do it till the day I die.
We got
to
get you standing up on my shoulders while we're wake surfing. But standing up where I'm just like holding you, just like.
Oh, you're going to lose me followers, man.
I heard him again. Give him another concussion.
Bro, that is that's fucked.
So besides the cool social media presence, what else is Steel doing inside the wakeboard world as not really like a rider anymore?
What do you mean by that?
Are you like, is there like tournaments or how does like do you oh, like yeah. sponsor events or is there things like that you still take place in or still like do you have yeah. like a team that you like coach or players that you mentor, things like that you still take place in the wakeboarding realm?
Yeah, totally, man. I'm super involved and having a lot of fun with it this year, actually, because last year was a little tough with COVID happening. But this year is, you know, kind of full force, like we're coming back into it hard. I just did this little Ollie contest with Alliance Wake, which is super fun, where we got some of the riders together and just kind of did like a backyard barrack style Ollie contest off of flat water. And I, you know, haven't done anything like that in so long and neither have any of the homies, but we just had fun with it. Ended up taking the W on that, which was sick. I've been doing a lot of stuff with Mastercraft, helping promote the sport, helping them, with their new boat launches and everything going on there. I got a bunch of cool, stuff coming out with Connolly that we've been working on some new pro model stuffs. Having some demos this year. We're trying to create like, I'm trying to do like some series this year, which would be a little bit more fun and cool to follow because, you know, we were just talking about social media. Like, you know, I feel like social media is very swipe. You get 10 seconds of someone's time. So I'm trying to create, you know, a series based around myself and wakeboarding, to get, you know, more and more views on wakeboarding, but like have some cool trip, you know, and do a few trips a year. So people can follow a series. They get invested into it and they have fun with it and they, you know, feel like they're a part of it. And do stuff like that this year, which is super fun. So we got a lot of cool things coming up this year. There's a lot of awesome riders that I've been, hitting up and making sure that they're, doing it the right way, doing it their way, which is all like their way is the right way right now. Cause I want to see them do what they want to do. And just inspiring the youth, but yeah, it's really cool.
That's crazy.
Oh yeah.
Are you like a healthy person, Steel? Like, do you like, I can only eat salad, you know?
No, I fuel my body with what my body wants at the time.
Right.
Like, I'm one of those people that I will eat healthy when my body's like, you really need to eat healthy, and I will, and I'll get on, you know, get on the bike, do go to the gym, do as much rehab as I need to do. But like for eating wise, it's like, if my body tells me I want a burger, I go eat that burger because I'm feeling that craving. Like I'm not craving that for any other reason, but my body might need protein or iron, right, or whatever it is. But I'm not going to go eat a cheeseburger from McDonald's. I'm going to go get a USDA, you know, prime.
You're good. You cook a mean burger. That's for damn sure.
Right. So like, that's how I view my health, and it's worked out so far.
Oh yeah.
What a legend.
Hey, Sauce just mentioned me in their story.
They did?
Yeah. Cause I just made a,
You're obsessed with the new oil.
Oh, I'm obsessed, bro.
It's good, right?
I made a pizza today, a mad truffle oil pizza. Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's Truff's on the winning team right now. It's for damn sure.
I love that.
Let's go. Dude, we just banged out an hour.
Yeah, man. Thanks for that. It's quick. We got to keep going. I got so many more questions, but man, we'll have to bring it back on.
I'm not in a rush. Go. You got a couple
more. I'll ask one more. So like, let's just like a simple, for the people out there. What does like an average wakeboarding season entail? Like how many events does it take? How many locations do you have to go to? Do you get to pick and choose? Like what's the, like, break it down for us.
Yeah, that's a good question. So starting on the tour and like grinding to, was tough. You do every tournament you possibly can do. You know, you're just trying out there and you're trying to make money off of tournaments. You're trying to get sponsors, you're trying to get recognition. So when I was, you know, 15 up until I was 25, I was doing close to 30 tournaments a year. It would probably be 20 to 25 tournaments a year, and then like five like big events or something like that. So it was like, you know, over half of the year I'm traveling nonstop every weekend. Ridiculous. So yeah, you're doing that. And then these past few years, I've been able to take a step back from grinding on tournaments and really focus on other things like my actual riding and pushing the sport that way. So like in 2017, I took a step back from doing contests. And instead of doing 25, I decided to do 5. And I ended up like, it's crazy to think, but I ended up winning all the tournaments I competed in that year, cause I was really able to focus and hone in on that. And then that was the year that I landed the double Indy Tantrum Blind and the double Mute Mob, one trigger of the year that year. And then one rider of the year that year too, which is an industry voted, you know, person on who they think pushed the sport and was like doing that the most. So that kind of like solidified my plan on what I was doing, was, you know, being able to focus on promoting the sport, you know, pushing and progressing my riding, and then also, you know, creating fun content that promotes the lifestyle of what we do for a living. And now I'm still on that program, and it's epic. Cool. I'm trying to, you know, push that even in a you know, new direction a little bit, like with doing series and doing cool things like that. So, you know, you're always evolving. But yeah, it started out grinding like everyone does. 25.
There really isn't like a point structure. Like you have to get like X number to like win the season, like kind of thing. It's just like how many tournaments you win throughout the year kind of thing.
So there are different series. There were like the Pro Tour series, the World Series, the Evolution series. Like there's just so many different series that you can compete in. The IWF events, and you go all over the world too. You go, you know, you go anywhere from freaking Waco, Texas to Thailand to Malaysia, Russia, like crazy spots you never think wakeboarding would be.
Hell yeah.
You compete and you get to see all these cool places and meet so many cool people. I think if you know, I could tell you the coolest thing that's ever happened to me and what wakeboarding has done for me is the people that I've met. I know a lot of people say that. It's like, oh, it's the people that I met. But for real, man, I've met so many cool people. I've learned about so many different cultures. It's bettered me as a person just by learning And yeah, I just think that's the coolest part of what I've been able to do.
Yeah, so I love it. So cool.
I love it. It's just, I mean, you have a great life and we obviously have an amazing crew to make it, you know. I mean, we went to Lake Powell last summer and Steele made the trip so much better because, you know, he had boats. He brought the right people out. You know, there's like 50 friends of just like in the middle of nowhere. Right. And it's so crazy. It's just, but you know what? Steele looked like the biggest fucking pimp to Mastercraft boats because it was just the who's were on that trip. And he's just like, this is my address book. This is my family, you know? So it's just like, I feel like we helped make Lake Powell. Like, I know it's been really cool, but we made it look like it's the best place on earth.
Bro, we made Lake Powell look so cool that it booked, but we were
we can't even go this year. Now we're going to Montana. We're going to go to like Montana and make that place cool.
Nah, man, we've been blessed, man, to create a family of so many people, of misfits, of, you know, successful people to, you know, just pure homies that.
Yeah.
We're totally blessed with that.
And well, Steele, Matt always has a last question that he likes to ask people. And he's going to ask you right now.
No, I wish it was colors. And it's actually, what's your favorite curse word?
My favorite curse word?
Yeah.
Oh, dog. Butthole.
Butthole? Wow. Nice. I like
that's
that.
That's a first.
No one said butthole.
I got to go. Wait, there's only like 6 curse words. You got to go with something funny.
Oh, man. I thought you were just going to drop fuck on us. Everyone's just fucked. Yeah.
Mine's usually... What do you consider success?
What do I consider success? Oh, this is not like a joke question.
No, it's real.
A happiness.
Yep.
I mean, you don't got to explain much more than just if you're happy, you're successful.
I love it.
Hell yeah.
I love it. Well,
where can they find you, Steele? Where
Mr.
they
Steele,
so you
give
can get some
your,
followers.
Yeah, give us your, where can people find you?
Everything, all my social, everything is just Steele Lafferty, STELLAFFERTY. Hit me up.
Hell yeah.
Steele, has anybody ever said like the part from Happy Gilmore?
I was just thinking that. Laugh Daniels.
And Happy Gilmore.
You know what's weird is that is such a small freaking part of a movie.
That's so big.
Remembers it.
It's bro.
My brother's name is Daniel.
Your brother's?
My little brother's name is Daniel.
No damn. Way.
Lafferty Daniel.
Bro. Lafferty. Yeah, exactly. Dude, there's a lot of movies out there that one word or two
words.
Because
they say it backwards.
Bro, like Mrs. Doubtfire, when she finds out he was the girl, she finds out and she's like, the whole time? Like literally everyone knows that part, you know?
Everybody knows that part, and I have no idea why. It's not a part. Like it makes absolutely zero sense. Zero. Like why anybody remember a random name in a movie for a tea time? Like what, bro?
It's just I'm telling you, it's because of the Lafferty part. There's no other reason. No, it's that. Not Gilmore Happy. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Lafferty Daniels.
It's Steele, very unique. Next up.
It's unique.
Oh, man. All right, brother. Well, much love. Thank you.
Full name in any movie that you can't.
No, no, absolutely not.
As a Niners fan, thanks for swapping picks with us. I hope you got somebody you wanted in.
Yeah, you guys picked up Trey Lance.
Yeah, with the third pick. You guys got the sixth pick though, so from Philly. So I'm kind of interested to see who you guys picked up.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why all my friends are calling.
Yeah, they must be stoked.
Yeah, I think they are.
Or they're wanting to make fun of you. Either way. But thanks for taking the time, man. We really appreciate
it. Thank you. Always.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Have a good night, man. Yeah. Peace.
Next up, Lafferty Daniel and Gilmore Happy.
Bad news. Fuck going on.
That's just terrible.
Bad news.